really two topics I wanted to quickly run through. I think we entitled it Tisha B'Av in Yerushalayim and Sof Zman, or Siyum HaZman. I actually call the Lashon Siyum HaZman. Both very much coming up, and I want to somewhat tie the two together. But Luban said to me a very good vort this morning, and I was thinking about it later in the day, and phenomenal. In fact, I told him I was going to vavad about Tisha B'Av. He made this point to me. There's halacha, you know, here we are, before I get to the halacha, here we are, as Hashem, you know, I think everybody in this room is going to be here for Tisha B'Av, and that itself is, in a certain sense, a big schos. Because, you know, Jews from Chutz La'aretz come to Eretz Yisrael to celebrate the Mo'adim. People come for Sukkot, it's very, very popular to come. There are some who even come for Pesach, Shavuos. You can imagine what it is to stay up all night in the mirror. People come for Yom Tovim all the time here in Eretz Yisrael. But really, the one Mo'ed, which really the place to appreciate and feel it, is the Mo'ed called Tisha B'Av. And in Chutz La'aretz, that itself is sad, that we're in Chutz La'aretz and we can't, you know, Tisha B'Av is a day which we can't relate to. But here in Eretz Yisrael, it's different. We're here in Eretz Yisrael, and it's really the place to be for Tisha B'Av. Now, Rabbi Luban added, I think, a nice level of depth to it. There are many different halachas and hilchos avelos. One halacha and hilchos avelos, like for example, come on, son, you ever buy a levaya? So you notice, when do the avelim tear kriya? It's interesting. Do they tear kriya when they get, Rachmanos, on the phone call that a parent or sibling, a child, Chas v'Shalom, passed away? No. They might utter the words Baruch Dan Emes, cry. They tear kriya by the levaya. And part of that halacha is based on a din of called Mes Muto Befanov. When Rachmanos Tzlan, you're there by levaya, and the mace is mamish right there in front of you. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, you feel it even more because there's no coffin. Right? You see the people on mamish there on the stretcher. Lying right there in front of you. Right? One of my kids came to us that night in the Beis HaKfaros in Tzfas. And there was a levaya there. Like, that's the dead body? Like, it's spooky. Yeah. You know, no coffin, no nothing. Right there. That fully hits you, the din of Meis Muta Bafanov. Rachmanos Tzlan, and you see a dead body in front of you, that's the point of time when a person is supposed to tear Kriya and recite Baruch Da'im Emes. It's not in the Shmuel Ra, it's not when it hits you, it's when it's Meis Muta Bafanov, because that scene should spark more feelings of Avelos in a person, and that's like the Iker time, Chazal Kaveh the Bracha, for Avelim of Baruch Da'im Emes. Sorry, Luban said, Hu Adin L'chor Gabi D'Chorbin. When we're in Chutz La'aretz, okay, Rachmanos Tzlan, it's a Shmur Ra, you hear a bad thing, it's Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But we're so far. In our generation, we're not just far geographically, we are far emotionally from having any connection to what a Beis HaMikdash was, what Avelos is about, so far. However, when we're in Yerushalayim, granted, emotionally, we still have that distance. We still don't really have so much of a clue of what the Chorban is. But at least in proximity, in physical proximity to the Chorban, we're right there. And our Luban used the Lashon, the halachic term, it's Meis Muta Bafanov. The mace is right there in front of you. When the mace is right there in front of you, that requires like a certain chiyuv of effort and focus of, okay, how much I should really put into my Tisha B'Av. And that's why I'm giving a vod today on Tisha B'Av. It's Tuesday night, Tisha B'Av is not till Motzei Shabbos. We have a few days. Hopefully some ideas that we're going to talk about today in the VOD are things which are practical, which guys could start planning out today, how they're going to spend their Tisha B'Av. Because if you just wake up the night, Motzei Shabbos, the morning of Tisha B'Av, and on the fly, a guy is going to go, okay, let's figure out what we're going to do, it's much, much harder, and that's not the best teshadlos for a person to have a meaningful Tisha B'Av. Now, what constitutes a meaningful Tisha B'Av? First and foremost, if you have Rabbi Luban's vort, that it's meis mut l'fun of them here in Yerushalayim, and I should focus more on Tisha B'Av because I'm in Yerushalayim, you're already one. If that thought is in your mind, that this Tisha B'Av should be, I should put in more effort, should be more meaningful in my life than my other Tisha B'Avs, being the fact I'm here in Yerushalayim, I'm here in Eretz Yisrael, you're already one, because that focus means something. It's inevitable it's going to affect you. Does that mean you're going to sit and shed a tear? You're going to sit and cry? You're going to sit and say 5 hours of kinnas with kavana? Probably not. But really, that's not the goal. The goal I think a person should have is whatever he can. Every person is different emotionally. I sat here a few weeks ago talking about tefillah, acknowledging the fact that different people are different when it comes to tefillah. Some people could get very into it and very emotional, and some people, that's not their psyche, that's not the way they're made up. But that doesn't mean you can't have meaningful tefillahs here in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't mean when you go to the Kosel, you go to the Kever, when you wake up in the morning and you daven here in Yerushalayim, you can't daven with a little bit more focus, a little bit more kavana. And that's a big deal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't expect us to change overnight, but He expects us to put in a little bit of an effort, and you never know, from a little bit of an effort, that can have pairs. So our goal is just to have a little more focus, a little more effort, and that could go a long way. Now I want to plot out step by step what goes on in Tisha B'Av, and what are good eitzes what person could do here in Yerushalayim, and what are not necessarily good eitzes for people to do. Now Tisha B'Av this year is on a Motzei Shabbos. In a certain sense, that has big milos. First and foremost, like I know for myself, these days in Yerushalayim, when you're here in Eretz Yisrael, you know, besides the yeshivas taking us running around, they're action-packed. And on the regular average day, I find myself running around, you know, 18,000 feet a day. It's crazy. Shabbos is a day, you rest. So the day leading up to Tisha B'Av, again, I'm telling you to have kavanah when you take a nap Friday, Shabbos afternoon. But it's a little bit of a slower day. As Hashem, a person should have more strength to go into a tainus. You're not running around all day. Erev Tisha B'Av ran away around the day before. No, you're slowly going into a tainus. So hopefully people should be rested up coming to Tisha B'Av. On top of that, Bez Hashem is less in Shabbos and Yeshiva, which we hope to have a lot of Ruach involved, a lot of, you know, Kesher, Zmiros, different things. And another factor is called Rabbi Luban. Bez Hashem, Rabbi Luban will be here. And Bez Hashem, we're going to have some type of shmooze before the Zman, before Tisha B'Av starts. And to have like a certain focus, I'm here in Eretz Yisrael, I want to gain as much as I can from Tisha B'Av, that's a great idea. So you're going to have a shmooze, you're going to have hopefully a meaningful Shabbos coming into Tisha B'Av. Then you have the night of Tisha B'Av. Now really the night of Tisha B'Av, there's one required thing to do. Is you daven Ma'ariv like any other night, and then you say Eicha. Eicha is the shortest of Megillahs, it's 4 prakim. It goes through pretty easily. And it's a type of thing which a person could be misorah from just hearing Eicha. The tune that Eicha is read in. If you study Eicha beforehand, which in some ways might be an easier thing to study than the Kinnas, because it has Mefarshim on it, and it's perhaps more understandable. A person who studies Eicha, when you hear the words, the Pesukim means something. There are a lot of meaningful Pesukim all over Eicha. you hear Eicha, and then afterwards there's some kinnas. So those are things, if at any moment in time you're misorer, you already have a check in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's box. If you pay attention to Eicha, and like it moves you some degree, the kinnas afterwards are a short amount of kinnas. I think Motzei Shabbos, you say one extra one, take away some, I forgot how it goes. A little bit extra from different from Motzei Shabbos. But you just say a few kinnas that night, and you basically finish. I'm sure all the shuls, wherever you go, you'll probably be finished by 10:30. Maybe at worst 11. Now, there's one eitzah right there, go to sleep. You need to be rested for tomorrow. But there are things that are going on that night too. One eitzah, I would say, again, guys could go different places, but definitely, if I'm here in Yerushalayim, I would say, no doubt, I would make every effort to perhaps go to the Mir Yeshiva, right over here. With the Mir Yeshiva, I was here last year for Eicha. It was, again, if you're claustrophobic, and if you're afraid that if once you sit down, you can't get up to go to the bathroom for the next hour and a half, maybe the Mir is not the place for you. However, what I saw in the Mir last year was phenomenal. The lights are totally shut. Every guy is given a candle. There's absolutely no room. You're sitting one on top of each other. The guys told me it was more packed in Tisha B'Av than it was in Yom Nerayim. But the Balkore who laned Eicha was so haunting. Like such a niggun. I remember it. Sitting in the dark with my candle. Trying to make a candle, make sure my candle doesn't drip here and there. I don't know. The candles are complicated. But just the way the Balkore read Eicha was, wow. For the record, Rabbi Luban told me he didn't... Rabbi Luban wasn't there. I don't know where he's going to go this year. But last year, I guess I could say this. He told me he went to Carl and Stalin. Random. He said it was an inspiring thing. You know, you had Hasidim. He says, not going back. But, you know, they laned Eicha. He said they had a very interesting minhag there. After laning Eicha, they got up and they said Hespedim and anyone from the Carl and Stalin community who was Nifter that year. Very interesting minhag. It sounded like he ended up staying for some of those, and it was like hours of speeches in Yiddish. But I'll get to that minhag in a little bit later. But I think the basic idea, if a guy goes to the mirror, I think that's pretty inspiring. You have to go early, you have to get a seat, you have to be ready to be in pitch black. But that's one idea. Perhaps any other, right, you figure out if you can go early, depending on the shmooze and this. I don't know what time they start. Okay, you'll hack them practicals later. But, yeah, okay, we'll go into all the hacks. But the mirror is one place at night. After the mirror, Rabbi Yitzchak Ezrachi, I remember, gave a speech. It was on loudspeakers in his Hebrew Yiddish with lots of power and lots of koach. It was pretty relatively easy. That's one thing to listen to. Somebody told me there were speeches all night going on in the mirror. Okay? Right, English speeches. Huh? Leza Ginsburg. Oh, yes, he's in town again. I saw signs up. Yeah, whatever you could do to inspire yourself, fine. That's the night. Now, perhaps now is a good time just to make a quick thing. I don't want this to take too long. Is a lot of people have the feeling, hey, if I'm in Eretz Yisrael, I got to go to the Kosel. Where is Tisha B'Av if not by the Kosel? Let's go to the Kosel. Now, between me and you, I hear such an idea. It makes some sense. And I don't think I would discourage everybody from doing it. However, I have two things to say about it. Two words of caution. Firstly, I spoke to a few guys who did that last year. And some people reported to me, which I know to be true, is that it's a crazy scene at night by the Kosel. The night, I mean, not 1 o'clock in the morning. If a guy wanted to say Tikkun Chatzos or stay up all night. But I mean, Megillas Eicha time, 9, 10, 11, 12 o'clock, is a scene, a hangout. And tons of girls and tons of Israelis are there, priests too. And this may not be the best environment to be on Tisha B'Av. I remember years ago in the mirror, 20 years ago in the mirror, Yaakov Moshe Katz was ranting against people going to the Kosel on Tisha B'Av. He's saying, on Tisha B'Av, he was getting into the idea that you shouldn't be Mesiach Atzma Menavelas. He's saying, "Ein lecha misiach atzmon mevielas yoser." Then schlepping to the kosel, you're waiting forever for busing and going on busing and getting there, and it's a whole balagan. Now again, there are a lot of guys here who are buckies and things. You have to know the right time to go. Maybe if you go in the middle of the afternoon, you know, definitely if you go motzi tisha b'av, you know, at night it doesn't sound so charedi. But motzi tisha b'av is probably the best time to go. That's very charedi, and a lot of chashim people go then. The kumdis is going on. It's a good time to go. But again, people have to know themselves, have to know the situation. But it's not so posh. Oh, so I'm a first-year guy, I'm in Eretz Yisrael, Kier gave a whole speech, importance. I want to see the Chorban. I'm going to the Kosel. It could be that's a good idea for you, but it could be it's a big taram, and probably not a good idea. So you have to know yourself, you have to know the situation. Talk to older guys in yeshiva who've done it before and see what they say. Now, during the day, here's a big deal. Like, usually back in Miami, the way this yeshiva does it is we do shachris at 9 o'clock in the morning. Like, guys wake up late, go do kinnas, and whatever. It really doesn't mean to say kinnas till chatzos. So the later you start, the easier it is to get to chatzos. That's what's done in Miami, in the yeshiva. Stam, nowadays in yeshiva, there's also the step that we have, I don't know what you call them, art school kinnases. I mean, is that every few kinnases, you have someone talking about them and saying la la la, explaining them. Now, for the record, Lubin's a hardcore person, and he's not so into that. But my yeshiva does it, and that's what yeshiva does, and many places do. The Chavetz Chaim in Queens, they have a popular meeting downstairs, which does that. Many of the shuls do these things. Yeah. So the first thing I have to tell you is the following. Most places here are not davening at 9 o'clock in the morning. In fact, 9 o'clock in the morning is basically past Sof Zman Kriyat Shema, and even if you're not putting on tefillin, you still should be makbet on Sof Zman Kriyat Shema, like you should be makbet on Talmud Torah and all these other things, which are chayiv on the day of Tisha B'Av. So that itself might be a reason for a guy post kinnas and Eicha on the night to go to sleep. But to realize, most minyanim are 7:38 around the town. I'm not sure there's so many nines. One place to go, again, is the Mir. It's right over here. I think they start davening 7:30. You can look, we'll put up signs, you know, when it gets closer. But now, the Mir, based on itself, just says Kenneth the whole morning. Downstairs in Beis Yeshaya, they have Kenneth explained in English by Rafal Katz. Rafal Katz is Ryaka Moshe's brother. He's a big Baal Musar. I believe he wrote in Queens, they have a lot of copies in the base manners, this black Masil Shasharim and Birim. He's the one who wrote it. He was very close with Nassim Tzvi. And I myself went, my son Mordechai, I took him last year to his thing. And I thought it was very good. You know, it was Masber, some kinnises, and it was meaningful. So, okay, that's one Mahalach. Another Mahalach, which is very good, is an Or Sameach, which I don't know if guys have utilized Or Sameach yet. Or Sameach is mamash 10 minutes away. It's a joke. You walk on Rechov Bar Levov, which is where the light rail is. You walk to the left. You go a few blocks. Shimon HaTzadik, you make a left. Right there is Or Sameach. Or Sameach, as everyone knows, has world-renowned speakers. And they have all their speakers get up there on Tisha B'Av morning and present some of their speakers. No?
Last year, just
with Yitzchak Breitlitz. Was just with Yitzchak Breitlitz all the time? Huh? And what about in the afternoon? They have other speakers then?
Yeah.
Okay. So for kinnos, they have one person do it. But I believe in the afternoon, they have different speeches throughout the day. But I'm sure Or Sameach does a good job. It's a good plan. I don't know if guys went last year. But it's probably a good location. You know, it could be some of the other Kiryat Yeshivas, maybe a Shatorah or something. Somebody told me they randomly got a 9 o'clock minion with some American camp here for Tisha B'Av. Okay. You know, I would try myself. I started going around looking in the mirror for signs. Guys should look around and ask around where's a good place they want to be. But start planning out. The mirror obviously is a great resource. But there are other places around. And it might be kedai for people to see, to find, go with a friend, go with Fitz, something for you to do. The whole afternoon of Tisha B'Av, here at the Mir and other places, There will be speeches, there will be people speaking. I happen to see Rabbi Yonam Finkel speaking in Geula, 4:15 on Tisha B'Av afternoon. I'm sure he's probably speaking here too. And yeah, there are people who speak, that give good speeches, that help people focus on the Churban. Whatever person could do for that, that's great. I think in yeshiva, again, our schedule as of now, if the guys really want a mincha minyan, maybe we could make a mincha minyan here. But for sure, Be'ez Hashem will have a ma'ariv. And I'd like, Be'ez Hashem, I'm going to be away in Ramat Beis Shemesh in the morning. I hope to come in the afternoon. And Be'ez Hashem, I can hope if guys want, maybe I could give a vod before ma'ariv the night of Tisha B'Av, day of Tisha B'Av. That. But really, guys should try to occupy themselves with the Churban. Now, when we talk about Churban, one last area I want to touch on Tisha B'Av is Churban itself. Obviously, is a Churban based on Mikdash. When we went to Rav Tzadka said, besides envisioning the Churban, the bias, and what the base of Mikdash was, you know, probably from some of our Tories, we could appreciate that more. And how things were taken away. Just today, I was in the Old City. It could be I didn't even know this fact. In 1948, when everyone celebrates the State of Israel, you know, if you have any moch b'kakado, if you knew the history, the State of Israel, the founding of the State of Israel, actually made it much worse for the old inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. There were Jews living in the Jewish quarter for hundreds of years, and they were viciously thrown out of their homes by the Jordanians, who ended up winning, getting the Old City. And one of the things they did is they burnt down the Parat Yosef Yeshiva. Yeshiva Parat Yosef, which you see today, a beautiful building, right by the Koso. I saw video of it, pictures of it today. The Arabs burnt that down in 1948. Absolute Churban. So, like, these things, like, you were right here in Eretz Yisrael, I could appreciate what a Churban is. If you see pictures, you know, I also saw these pictures there. It's right in the Old City. There's like a remembrance to the war of 1948. But you see the total destruction. You see this old, Sephardishi Yid walking with his wife with one bag of their belongings, being kicked out of their house, which they live, for 100 years, because, Baruch Hashem, we got a state. And the Jordanians got the Old City. So, like that, you could see some type of Churban. Rav Tzadka focused on maybe we should see the Churban that of our Averus, which brought it about. That's something to mourn. But I think really on Tisha B'Av, what probably touches what me and I'm able to associate with is I try to spend some time reading up on the Holocaust. I tried envisioning and thinking about the Chevron massacre. Just a few weeks ago, right, when we went on Friday to Maror Samachpela, we passed by that spot where the Chevron massacre occurred, with those signs of such pain from the Jewish inhabitants. This was land which was ours, which was taken away from us in 1929 by the Arabs. Like, if anyone reads the Remeir Chodesh biography, there's vivid detail. Simple as this, a Brody biography. And I happened to find, this is a good story for later, I happened to find when I was in Shepham Mall, they have, my kids are shopping, so I went to the Beis Medrash. I love Eretz Yisrael. Your family could go shopping, you could sit in the Beis Medrash in the mall. So randomly, I decided, I pulled my Marmok almost, I quickly went to the shelf. I happened to find the Sefer of Slobodka Musar. I'll get to that. I saved this piece for Tisha B'Av, where inside this piece is a survivor of the 1929 Chevron massacre. And he writes a schmooze about that Chevron massacre. I copied 5 pages of it onto my phone. Upon reading that in Tisha B'Av, upon giving it over a part of the Vod. But like something like that, a person could associate themselves with. I could perhaps hear at Tzad, someone mentioned they did this last year by Shavas Batamas. But, guys have gone around Eretz Yisrael, but I don't know how many guys have been to Yad Vashem. Perhaps if people aren't into speeches, maybe a guy could spend a little time Tisha B'Av afternoon going to Yad Vashem. Probably a good time to go do it. Again, if it's too much of a hack, it takes too long to get there. The Sechat Manu Avelos, maybe you shouldn't, I don't know. But it doesn't sound like a crazy idea. Definitely, guys should gourd these libraries. Make sure to put the books back. But the library here, the library in the other room, I'm sure has a lot of Holocaust books. I should grab them and read them. I'm the type, like, it's painful for me. I don't enjoy reading these books most of the year. But you know what? Come Tisha B'Av time, Tisha B'Av is a day to connect with these things. And like the Holocaust is something which is just a few generations ago, you know, that eerie song from, you know, from Journeys, you know, the last known survivor, you know, fades away. We're getting to that point. You know, there aren't so many survivors still there. And we have an achrayus to whatever we can to connect with that. You know, it's easier to connect with that generation while they're still alive. You still feel it. And there's achrayus. You know, Baruch Hashem, we're all here. That means, you know, somehow our families made it. But, you know, many people didn't. It's a pretty sad situation. But it's something that we could connect to. We could feel. You know, Rahman son, there's a religious persecution. You know, we live in Florida. The Bell Harbor, you know, the Aventura community. How many Jews are coming? I was in the airport on the way here. I met a Jew from Venezuela. He's telling me how bad it is, how few Jews are left there. How few Jews are left in Iran and Iraq. Right? There's persecution going on in the world today. We just happen to be, Baruch Hashem, lucky that we don't live in these countries. Some people might even have relatives or people they know in these countries where there's really religious persecution. These people, you know, they have to leave, just like that picture I saw of the Sephardi Yid leaving his house with one bag of stuff, one bag of grapes, that's all he's got. It's pretty crazy. So I hope that's a good overview of Tisha B'Av. Again, whatever effort a person could do is a big deal. We have a bigger achrayis because it's meis mutu lefanov, as Rabbi Luban says, here in Eretz Yisrael. We should plot out what our plan is, where we're going to daven Ma'ariv, Shachris, spend our afternoon, plot it out now, borrow the books from the library, whatever we can do to attach ourselves to any connection of Chorbin, of Galus, and, you know, Motzi Shabbos a Kumzitz, Motzi Tisha B'Av a Kumzitz, whatever a person can do to misur themselves, any type of misurus goes a long way. Connecting on that theme, any type of misurus goes a long way, I'd like to give switch gears and spend just mamish 5 minutes on what I call Siyum Hazman. Now I'm into Siyums. I was thinking about those beautiful words you say at the Siyum, right? I'll never forget, I saw in the video by the last Siyum HaShas, this video of Rav Nosson Tzvi speaking by a Siyum HaShas here in Eretz Yisrael, where he utters the words, Hajin Allah, Hajin Allah, Hajin Allah. Those words are the most beautiful words. I will return to you, I will return to you, I will return to you. And think about it. What? You just made a huge accomplishment. You finished the Masechta. You finished the Seder of Mishnayos. Whatever person is making a Siyum, the first words you utter after you finish the Masechta, we don't say Chazak Chazak v'nis Chazek. We don't say Hodo Lashem Ki Tov Ki Lom Chazdo. There are lots of words in Jewish vernacular that we could say. The words we say is Hajin Allah, Hajin Allah, Hajin Allah. I'll return to you, I'll return to you, I'll return to you. Is that when you complete something, when you succeed, we measure success by what you do next. I think that's the perfect way to end the Zman. Hajin Allah, Hajin Allah, Hajin Allah. Okay. Everybody in their life has their own cheshbonos and their own chavasa ba'olamo. But isn't one of the most beautiful things when you finish the Zman, the Ezer Hashem, the idea of Hajin Allah, I'll return to you. I'll come back. Baruch Hashem, a lot of people come back to Miami. Some people, Ezer Hashem, moving on to the next stage in life, you still invite them to come back to Miami. But that's not really going away. That's also Hajin Allah, Hajin Allah. Is really an accomplishment of a Zman is what you do next. what happens next in your life. Hajjan Allah, Hajjan Allah, Hajjan Allah. I think this Azman in general, Baruch Hashem, guys are saying I'm learning 3 Siddharm a day, and it's been a long year. It wasn't even a leap year. But from Rosh Chodesh Elul, or summer probably past that, where we started, through a hurricane, through Sukkot, through Yatiyat Rosh Hashanah, through Sukkot, Hanukkah, midwinter, you know, so many things that go on. And here we are at the end of Azman, whether we finish Maseches Gittin or not, whether we got Pshat in every Sugya or not, Baruch Hashem, that's a big accomplishment. Hajjan Allah, Hajjan Allah, Hajjan Allah. You know what's even in a certain sense a bigger accomplishment and will push us to the next step of Hajjan Allah? I think it's an inspiration a person gets by whatever success they see in themselves. The success a person sees in understanding a sugya, in Ian, the success a person sees in Musar, appreciating a shmooze, this tahir I realized about myself. Do you know how good a feeling is when you hear a Musar shmooze or Musar vad, and like that idea the Rebbe's saying, Taka, that's me. And the Rebbe's giving a vad just for me, shmooze for me? No, because it's kochos nefesh, it's Musar. There's a chachma here that really talks to the individual person. Everyone has different nisyonos, everyone has different challenges. But there's common threads that we all share. Common challenges, common stumbling blocks. And Musar could help us get through it, accomplish it. That's inspiring. It's inspiring when you know halacha, you learn the halacha, you could practically do it. That's inspiring. But I think in general, what we've been very much zocha to, it happened to be a tremendous chus. I spent time with Rabbi Kinarik today. And he was so happy that the yeshiva, you know, he thinks it's such a great idea how the yeshiva comes for summer's month. I have to tell Rabbi Luban how proud he was. It's such a beautiful thing. It's going on and on. Like, it's really so beautiful. And it is. You know, for the guys who came back a second year, who were here last year, this Baruch Hashem, the second straight year, you know, there's a lot of things we did the same, but there's a lot of different things. And I think whether it was a different speakers, or Pinchas Green didn't speak last year. We didn't have the schuss of going to Tzfas last year, of hearing Rabbi Favelson. So many different personalities. I think, guys, everyone differently, different situations, people walked away inspired. There are moments of inspiration. Now we know moments of inspiration don't last. But when you tie them together with something else, they do. I'm not going to go into specifics, but you know, obviously, with my position in yeshiva, I talk to a lot of guys, a lot, different things. I will tell you, I know for a fact, there are guys in this yeshiva who the inspiration, forget about just the pure inspiration of what went on this summer, during summer's month, changed their life and their decisions, what they're doing in life. I know personally. In my book, boy, that's a successful Zman. How about the warmth you feel, whether it's Rav Gamliel, whether it was other Gedolim or Tzaddikim that we met, the warmth they exuded. What does it make you feel? Right? That itself is a means, you know, in our own puny minds. Obviously, how do we picture our Kodesh Baruch Hu? Gedolim and Tzaddikim are the people which hope are the greatest embodiment of Mahu Afata. And when you see a person like that, and they're so welcoming, they're so warm, wow, they're Machshev, B'nei Torah, Machshev Chofetz Chaim, guys. The feeling you get, the warmth, the inspiration. Isn't that something for Hajjan Allah? I want to go further. I want to return. So that's what people should take away from summer's month. They should take away, obviously, all the learning. And, you know, I'll never forget this sugya I did or this when I was here. I was talking about that. It's good. But also the inspiration, especially if it's tied to that it's inspiring me, Bezer Hashem, to grow further, to steig weiter next year, to do even more. That's a great way to end this man. You end this man with a siyum. Hajjan Allah, Hajjan Allah, Hajjan Allah. Bezer Hashem, I'll return to you, Miami. I'll turn to you, Yerushalayim, B'havdol. And Bezer Hashem, we should all be zocha to return. We shouldn't have to return. This year, we should be zocha to see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, in Heira V'Yameinu.